everything that we've been able to accomplish on this in this life will be finished. Amen?
Yep.
And so, work while we can. What's work mean? Well, really, we'll talk about that some more in the days ahead. Philemon, Philemon, what's wrong? We are getting pretty close to the end of this letter that Paul had sent to this fellow, his friend, and fellow worker, and co-laborer, brother. He talks about this dearly beloved, all these kind of things, these terms that he used, that Paul used to refer to Philemon. And it's an interesting letter. It's it really doesn't seem to fit with all the rest of the scriptures. It's kind of its own particular thing. It's not really a letter to a church. Church doctrine, though he does say in verse 2, to the church in thy house, but it's not really one addressed to a church in that sense. It's written to a man, and about a man's particular situation. And so, really, what are we doing getting in his personal mail? Here's the thing. God has given us something here, and to teach us a lot of things. And there's a lot of things we can look at. Of course, this time we've been spending, I think this is maybe the fifth, maybe sixth, I think this is the sixth message. So we spent a month and a half, like, man, there's not very many verses. Well, I know how to really stretch them. And so we're looking at it in, and we've been looking at it this period of time in the way as it relates to missions. And some things we can, of course, we could go through it another time and look at it about soul winning. We could look at it about another thing. And so this letter really has a lot of application for us. And so let's stand together. Look at verse 10. We'll start in verse 10. Let's all stand together as we honor God in the reading of His Word. And I'm going to read just a few verses to get us kind of back into the where we're at here. He says, Verse 10, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, that thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this time, thankful for your word. We're thankful for the scriptures that you've given us, that, Lord, we don't wander in this life trying to find our best path, which would lead to utter destruction for us. And yet, Lord, you've given us your word to encourage us, to guide us, to instruct us. So, Lord, I pray this morning as we look into this letter that you've given from Paul to Philemon and all the things that's involved, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to receive the principle and application that you'd have for our lives as well and for this period of time. And Lord, we'll give you the thanks and the praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Please be seated. So we've seen in this letter already, as Paul kind of addressed at the beginning there, that that grace changes us, right? Grace changes how we see ourselves. It changes how we see other people, and it also refreshes others, right? And that's something that Paul talked about with Philemon, how he his life refreshes others. Man, what a great for somebody to say that about you. Man, you really, really refreshed my spirit. Right, that's a great thing. Not really terminology that maybe we use in our day, but we might know people that do that for us. You know, there's some that unfreshen us. But I don't want to be that guy. I want to be, but there's some that refresh. And this kind of thing. And we've seen Paul talk about he uses love's sake, not authority. as a motivation for living for Jesus, right? That we might live for the Lord for love's sake. We might do these things. And what he's asking Philemon to do is make a decision for love's sake. And not because as the authority, as the apostle, he's saying this is what you must do. For love's sake, he wanted to see a decision made. You know, when we do something because we love the Lord, it comes off a lot different, doesn't it? And it lasts a lot longer than when we do something because this is what we do here, right? This is what we do here changes when I'm no longer here, right? But if what I do because I love the Lord, he's always with me, right? But also, we learned last week that forgiveness costs something, doesn't it? Forgiveness costs. We've been talking about that in Sunday school as well, but forgiveness costs us. It's the cost of love. We looked at that last week. And so now Paul is going to turn to the real matter at hand. What does grace do next? What does grace do next? Okay, we're going to look at the title of the message this morning is this, Beyond Ourselves. And so when we look beyond ourselves and look beyond our own life and what's going to be taking place there, listen, the gospel doesn't end at forgiveness, right? The book of Titus talks about it. The grace that brought salvation, right, teaches us some things, right? Teaches us to live for Him. It teaches us some things there. So the gospel, the grace of God, doesn't stop at forgiveness. Whew, I'm saved. Now I can go back to living like I did before. No. It just really, it doesn't end at forgiveness. It really does this. It moves towards a decision. So I want to look at this morning. Number one is this. Grace that forgives moves forward. Grace that forgives moves forward. Look at verse 15. It says, for perhaps he, talking about Onesimus, therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. So I want to start with this. Paul acknowledges failure. I think that's something that, and I talked about that a bit last week, and Paul acknowledges failure. Onesimus did depart for a time. He did. He did. That's something that he deals with. He talks about. He did depart for a time. He says here, Onesimus sinned. I don't think anywhere that's sugar-coated or that's lightened or anything like this. Onesimus fled. We find that. And a loss had occurred for Philemon. Those are the things we've already kind of looked at in the Scripture. So we know those things took place. So here's the thing, though. Forgiveness addresses those past choices of sins. You understand? So forgiveness addresses our past choice of sin. Amen? That's how the gospel works. It's under the blood. Amen. Thankful for that. And that's what, man, I'm thankful for that. I wish we could forgive ourselves as well as God forgives us. Wouldn't that be helpful? But we don't, and I don't want to spend too much, it's not my note, I don't want to spend too much on this, but I do want to make this point. We don't trust God with forgiveness sometimes. And after God said His forgiveness, we went to Him and said, God, I've asked God, I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believed, I put my faith and trust in Him, and yet we still bring up our own sins. And God said, I've put it behind me. Right? And I will remember it no more, is what He said. But we want Jesus to be put back on the cross and we go back to Him and say, God, would You forgive me? Can you imagine this? And I'm guilty on this one. You go back, and some sins are so bad, you don't feel like just asking for forgiveness once, does it? You go back and say, if the Spirit of God isn't bringing it to my attention, what other spirit is? It's either the flesh or the devil, right? Brings that back, and I'm like, oh, God. forgive me for what I did back there. Been there, right? It comes back to our mind. You're like, forgive me. And God said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I don't remember that ever even taking place. I don't know if exactly that's how it goes. But in theory, and that's kind of how that goes, is listen. But here's my point is just this. Forgiveness addresses those past choices for sin. But the focus here is about moving into the present. And that's what the Apostle Paul is doing with Philemon. This is no longer about what happened back there, but what the result is for the future. God does not force righteousness upon us. I wished He did. If He did that, I wouldn't sin. Right? If God would just force righteousness, you know what I really wish He did? I wish He'd force it on other people. And then we wouldn't have, Brother Eddie wouldn't have to be up here like, y'all should come to Sunday school. Right? We'd all just, you know, and we wouldn't have to be like, man, we should do this. We spend so much time trying to get believers to do what believers ought to do. What is wrong with us? Well, I guess the same thing God did. The whole New Testament is almost about like, y'all quit, do this. And then He says again, do this and do this. We're the same way. We're just trying to be godly. Amen? I wish God forced righteousness upon us, except I'm really glad He doesn't. God allowed Onesimus to choose wrongly. God allowed that. He said, well, how did God allow it? Well, He allowed it by letting him choose. Listen, God does not hinder us. He doesn't stop us from making a choice to sin. Though I will say as a little bit of a disclaimer on this here, though the Spirit will convict us. Amen. The Spirit will convict us of, hey, don't do that, dummy. I mean, that's how He speaks to me. I don't know. He said, no, that's the wrong spirit. You're thinking that, and the Spirit will convict us by the Word of God in our heart. He'll use that, but He doesn't hinder us. He doesn't forbid us. God doesn't stop us from getting outside of His protection. God said, this is the safe place in my, you know, listen, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. God said, come here. And we're like, no, God, I got this one. I'm going to do this like a 2-year-old by myself. I do myself. No, you ain't going to do it. If you do yourself, you're going to be in trouble. I got this. And 2-year-olds are funny. I mean, not like the good kind of funny. Now, there's the other good kind of funny 2-year-olds have, but the bad kind of funny that's like, what's wrong with you? Why do you think you can do what you can't? And then like 3 seconds into it, help me. Right? Except for as we get older, it takes longer than that. We have to wait till we've skinned our knees and hurt ourselves pretty bad, and then we'll say, okay, God, would you fix what I did? Right? Listen, God doesn't stop us from getting outside His protection. He didn't with Eve. Don't you wish God would have just came, knocked that fruit out of her hand? Man, where would we be at today? Probably the same place because she had done it again. You know what I mean? God didn't stop Eve. You know what God didn't do? God didn't do it with Cain. He doesn't do that with you or I. So we stand in account for our own choices. So, but God also allows, with us allowing us to sin, God also allows the consequences to unfold according to our sin. God doesn't sit up there and say, well, we'll give them a pass on this sin. We'll give them a pass on that sin. No, the consequences are, they unfold. Thankfully, God helps us at times and makes them manageable for us at times. But I'm telling you, God doesn't, keep those away. God didn't want Eve to choose to disobey. God didn't want Eve to do that. God didn't want Cain to kill Abel. God said, man, I was hoping He'd do that because I've really got a good story I want to unfold here. No, God didn't want that sin. But when they did, God also allowed the consequence to come to fit the sin. I don't think for a minute that God wanted to no longer walk in the garden with Adam and Eve. God comes out looking for them. I mean, looking for them. You knew where they were at. He still wanted to walk in the midst with them. I believe he still wanted to walk. That's why he sent his son, so that he could still walk among us. We could have a relationship with him. So he didn't want us to sin, didn't want the consequences, but he allows us. So here's where God steps in, though. He doesn't approve the sin ever. Y'all got that this morning? Right here? Amen? Y'all with me? I wish they could light up. Push a button like a applause. It's like a Baptist preacher applause button. That's awesome. I didn't think about that. We should have one up there. It just lights up, and every time I'm like, I just push a button, and it cues you like we're on the set. Man, that's an idea. Let's develop that. God doesn't approve our sin. Never, never does God say, well, at least it worked out. Don't ever think that. Folks, get that out of your head. Well, it worked out for good. In spite of you and I sinning against a holy and righteous God, don't pretend for a minute God is okay with us sinning. But here's where God steps in. He doesn't approve the sin, but He will redeem the repentant sinner. Amen? Aren't you glad for that? Grace forgives what happened. But grace doesn't end the story at redemption. It moves the redeemed into a life of faith. So the sinner doesn't just get redeemed, he gets changed. The Bible uses the word transformed. Right? Look at verse 15 again. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season. Okay, I want to talk about that word perhaps. Perhaps looks forward, not backwards. In this sense, he says here, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season that, so he's going to give the reason that perhaps that happened, that thou shouldest receive him forever. He's not saying, man, I'm glad that happened. He might never got saved if he didn't sin. Come on, folks. That's not the way God works. God doesn't drive us to sin so that we can get right with Him. That's what I like to call stinking thinking. And we'll justify people like that. This group in this room, we're the ones. We'll justify that. We'll say, well, hey, man, you know, it worked out. I'm glad they did that. Well, Pastor, if you didn't go through that stuff you did in your life, you might not have the testimony you have. Man, yeah, I know. I might have one that doesn't have scars. I might have one that doesn't have the hurt and pain of those that were hurt and my mom crying herself to sleep at night. And, you know, and it's just, isn't that lovely? You want to tell me, aren't you glad you did that? No, sir. No, ma'am. No, listen, God doesn't want us to get into that, but perhaps doesn't look backwards. It's looking forward. And so Paul doesn't explain the sin of Onesimus departing for a season. He doesn't explain it, doesn't try to explain it away, and doesn't try to say, well, you know, there's, you know, man, aren't you glad that worked out? No. He just uses this word perhaps. Perhaps is a word that says, I don't know, maybe. He doesn't try to be in this way for us to grab a hold of it. He didn't say it's good that he did that so that he could be saved. No, perhaps this is something that happened. I want us to think about this. Paul is preparing Philemon for what's going to come next. Okay, he's preparing him for what he's about to do, what he's about to get to him. Philemon needed to get a vision. He needed to get in his sights. He needed to get a vision for what God had done in Onesimus. Remember, I talked about last week. You imagine, and I imagine maybe Onesimus had the letter, this letter to Philemon, and I don't know how that worked. I'm not saying for sure it was. Maybe there's a group of them. Maybe he's there. Maybe he's in the back. Maybe it's like three or four people. He's hiding in the back. You give him the letter. Let him read it. And then when he's, I'll come out. I don't know how that went. But I imagine, you imagine Onesimus coming up. He said, and you can see Philemon's face as Onesimus is coming up. It's just, could you read this first and then we'll talk? You know, he probably read. I don't know, maybe it was sealed. I don't know how that went. But, you know, maybe Paul said, just take this, go back, take this. And we're going to trust God on that. And Philemon's like, all right, I'm going to trust God. Or Onesimus is like, okay, I'm going to trust God. And he goes, and, you know, I don't know. I don't get the sense that Philemon was some angry, bitter man. I don't get that. But there's something here that Paul was maybe preparing him. This, I think this was a pretty serious issue in that time. I think it always has been, you know, a slave runs away and these kind of things happen. And so he comes here and he gets this thing. And so Paul is preparing him for what is going to come next. Is this, Philemon needed to get a vision for what God had done. Look at verse 16. He says, not now as a servant. He's talking about this, receiving him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me. But now, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. And so he's coming up to him now. He said, you know, he left for a time. He did this, but now you're receiving him back forever. You know what he wants to say? You know what he's really saying, folks, is this. Somebody getting saved for all eternity is better than anything you could lose. But what if I lose a friendship? Good friend. I mean, just we're, I said thick as thieves. I said, I don't know what that means. Just close. It just means close, I guess. Where did that come from? These euphemisms. See? We're thieves. I don't know. Maybe they don't. Anyway, I don't even. Let me leave that. Get out of here. So, just tight. Man, we've been friends since we were kids. And I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to say something. I don't want to tell them about Jesus Christ. Because if I start talking, they don't like church. They're not churchy. I mean, they're not really an atheist. I mean, they kind of do other things, but I don't know if they really believe in God. But they're my best friend, my bestest friend. I don't want to. And so I would rather keep my friend and let them go to hell than lose my friend and perhaps they trust Christ forever. It's greedy, isn't it? That's not my point this morning, but it's there. He wanted Philemon to get the vision of what he was talking about. God had saved this man. We have to see people through the eyes of Christ. I want you to put your string or a card or something. Keep your place there. I want to turn over to the book of Matthew real quick. Matthew in chapter 9. And I want us to just try to look through the eyes of Jesus, to see people through the eyes of Jesus just for a moment here, and then we'll get back over here to it. But Matthew chapter 9, and in verse 36. Matthew 9, verse 36. He said, but when he saw the multitudes, talking about Jesus, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. I don't suppose there's a people on earth that are worth redeeming. I don't suppose there's people anywhere that are worth redeeming. Including us. But when we see, I mean, get a vision, when we see or hear about a heathen people in a heathen land wandering around without someone there to get the gospel to them, without a shepherd to lead them, right? It ought to move us beyond our own salvation. I'm so thankful I got saved. that doesn't, it's hard to even put that in a sentence, isn't it? It's just, it's ridiculous. It's hard to even like, it's like a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Like, man, I'm glad I got saved. You know, it just feels so pitiful saying something like that. I don't know how do you really give thanks to the Lord in words for that. But I'm telling you, when we see, we show these videos and we see these people in these distant lands and they're wandering around and we hear about, you know, like we were in Sri Lanka, the only gospel witness in a whole state. You hear about there's people out there and having, and you drive around and you just like, it's so overwhelming. And we see these videos of people in these far distant places and you see them and I'm telling you, it ought to move us beyond our own salvation. Man, I'm glad I ain't them. Ha ha ha. It ought not be like that. And I don't think we have that. I'm just saying, it ought to stir us to do something that we would not otherwise do. But you know what we need first? We need a vision. Is there not a cause? Is there not a need? Look at verse 37. We're still in Matthew chapter 9. Then saith he, Jesus, unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I'll tell you, there is a need, and Jesus made that need known. Right? He made that need known. I'm not sure what it takes to stir us to get beyond our own salvation. Okay, let me rephrase it. I'm not sure what it takes each of you individually to stir you to get beyond your own salvation. I don't know what that is. I'm not sure, I know some things in my life where God stirred me to get beyond my own salvation, but I'm not sure what it's going to take. Each of us could be a little different. God's created our relationship with God, our experience is a little bit different for each of us, right? And so I'm not sure what it would take in your life to get you beyond your own salvation to say, I'm going to give my life a little bit more to reaching someone else than just to enjoy my own. I don't know what that takes for each of us. But Paul suggested something to Philemon. Again, verse 15. Get back to Philemon. Verse 15. Again, he said, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season that thou shouldest receive him forever. Perhaps what happened with Onesimus was exactly what Philemon needed in his life to get a vision of what God does in the life of man. No. Here's what I'm saying to you this morning. Perhaps God used Onesimus, not for Onesimus' sake here, but perhaps this is exactly what Philemon needed in his life. Someone else in his life to do this, and again, I don't want to, don't make me repeat this. Don't make me do that. No. Don't make me repeat this. Nowhere along the way am I saying God allowed the sin. That's where we started with that, right? So God made him sin. No. Stop. Don't even get there. I'm not saying you are. Just before you do, don't. We're not saying that. But perhaps this is exactly what Philemon needed to get beyond the little church in his house, beyond his own life of focusing on the things in his life. Man, we get so, it's so easy to get focused on me, isn't it? But to get a vision of what God does in the life of man. Who would have thought that this runaway slave would be able to be redeemed and become useful? Now, who would have thought? I mean, this didn't happen. A slave get away. You know, y'all watch slave stories, movies or whatever about slavery in America and all that. You didn't see a slave come back and say, you know, slave master, I just want to come back. I got saved. and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I realized by me running away, I sinned against you, and I'm just back, ready to take my punishment. You ever seen that movie?
No.
Yeah. You're like, well, maybe if they had a slave master like Philemon, I think probably some situations did happen like that, hypothetically, could have. Who would have thought this Onesimus coming back, this runaway slave, would come back and be able to be redeemed and be useful now to Philemon? Because it's interesting there, he said in verse 16, he says, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. He's saying now he's going to be useful to you, not just he's saved, but also he's going to be useful to you in the flesh, just physically speaking. Who would have thought that would have been possible? Well, God did. I think about this sometimes, folks. I think about God looked down and seen my pitiful life and said, man, one day this guy's going to be useful for me. I don't know if anybody that knew me, I mean anybody that knew me, would have said, if God would have spoke to them like audibly and said, this guy is going to be used by me. And they'd be like, God, I think you pointed the wrong direction. Or maybe you're somebody, you know, they'd have been, no way, no one would have thought that about my life. Maybe you're in the same boat. Who would have ever thought that your life could be useful to the Lord? Man, I'm so far away. God does. Amen? God looks beyond the sin. God looks beyond our bad choices, beyond what we have done in the past, and knows what we could do in the future. Again, doesn't mean God just, well, we'll just let them pass. No. God can see beyond that. When we're repentant, God will do something in our life. Paul is encouraging Philemon to look at the result of the work of God. Look again at verse 16 at the beginning. He says, now not as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved. Okay, here's the idea of missions. Here's the idea of missions for us here, folks, is this. Getting a vision for missionaries in places that we can never get to or would never go to. I mean, there's some missionary presentations. I'm looking at that and I'm just like, sign me up. And other places I see missionary presentations said, I will send you money. You know what I'm saying? And it's not maybe the places that you would think, because we're different people. Y'all are like, Tropic Island, I'm in. You know? Trying to think, what's this? The Russian cold part. What do we call that?
Siberia.
There's missionaries in Siberia. Man, God would have to call me, drag me. I'm just kidding, Lord. I hate the cold. That's why I tease my kids about being cold, and I'm here. So getting a vision, though, is about places where missionaries are going that we'd never get to, we'd never go to, and honestly, we'd never even know about. Do you know how many churches we went into and said, you know, we're missionaries to Sri Lanka, and I would do this every church. How many people here have ever heard of Sri Lanka? I'd have them raise their hand. No, obviously, y'all have. But I'd go into church and say, how many people have ever heard about Sri Lanka? And if I would get one or two people in a church, it didn't matter how big it was, most people had never heard of Sri Lanka. Never even heard of it. We were trying to put it on the map all around the country. Never even heard of. A burden for the regions beyond us, that God might redeem those that hear the gospel. So, grace, here's point three. I don't know if I gave you point two. I didn't give you point two, I did. Let me give you point two for those writing it down. Point two was very interesting. It was point two. Was this perhaps looks forward, not backward? What was that? Sorry. For the one or two people keeping notes. My kids get bored, so they can't. So point three is this: grace that gives vision calls for participation. Look at verse 17. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. So the scripture now moves from vision to instruction. Forgiveness had already been addressed. Okay, repentance had taken place. Salvation had occurred. Now Paul gives the direction, the instruction, and really the challenge. And really, is this, if thou count me, therefore, a partner. Okay. Partnership requires participation. Paul doesn't appeal to authority. You are required by God to participate in this. We don't have pledges. Okay, we're gonna receive here in about a month and a half or so a faith promise missions commitment card, a commitment. What I'm committing. It's not a pledge. What's the difference? Isn't the same thing? No, different. It's different. A pledge is, this person puts an amount on and we come to collect it. You pledge this amount. It hasn't come in yet. I'm just trying to say the amount that you pledge, we're coming to collect on that, right? No, we don't do that. What we do is a commitment that says, here's what I'm going to do for the Lord. It's a little different concept. Paul, I think, would have been in a right place to say, you owe it. We find in the Old Testament, they came and got a tax, a temple tax. Right? Remember, we talked about that. A temple tax that said, hey, this is what you're going to pay to upkeep it, and this is what you're going to give, and by law, they did that, right? I think there's a precedent to say we ought to do this, and this is the right thing to do, and you ought to do it, and here it is. But no, it's not what he says for love's sake, right? Not with authority. He comes and says this kind of concept, or this kind of understanding, and do this not because we have to, but because there's a desire. Requires participation, but doesn't appeal to authority. He appeals to a shared labor, a shared purpose. Can I even say this? A shared reward. He calls it here a partner. I'd say if there's anyone I'd want to partner with, it'd be the Apostle Paul. Amen. There's anyone that I want to invest my money in, my vast wealth in, okay, would be the Apostle Paul or somebody else doing that kind of work. Partnership is not just to agree with each other, okay? It's to get involved with. That's really a partnership. You don't observe a partnership. You enter into it. I think maybe the problem for many is that they want to be silent partners in their relationship with Christ. I want to be the silent partner. I want to be the partner that's not really a partner. I got my name on the line and that's about all I put on there. Yeah, I know people have said stuff like this. My church sends missionaries. My church sends missionaries all over the world. And I ask, do you give to missions? Well, not really. But my church does, so I'm part of it. You understand what I'm saying? A silent partner. Not a participation, one that says, I want it. Am I saying, what a jerk? No, that's not what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Here this morning, here's what I think I'm saying. What are you saying? I don't know. I'm saying something like this. We're going to have to get a vision. We're going to have to get our own vision, our own burden to see and want to be involved in that, right? And see what God has done and what God can do and what God will continue to do. Receiving Onesimus is Philemon's specific act of obedience. That's what he's asking him to do. Paul said, receive him as myself. Man, you can't get much more partnership than that. Receive him as it's me. Listen, this isn't some sentiment. He's not saying this. He's not saying, you know, would you be nice to him for my sake? Receive him when he comes in. Just be nice to him. You know, you ever had somebody be nice to you because you're their friend's friend? That's so unpleasant. People aren't good at faking that. Like, we're not either. And so you come in, it's like, you know, you got to hang a pork chop around your neck, get dogs to play with you, you know, kind of thing. That kind of sentiment that says, Paul wasn't saying to Philemon, hey, I really want you because this is my son. He's like, he's of my heart or my bowels, as it says here. He is, I want you, you know, receive him as me. I want you to take good care of him for me. It's not what he's saying. This isn't in theory. It's not just a truth that we know we're supposed to, yeah, I'm supposed to love everyone. The Bible says I'm not supposed to, hey, I'm supposed to love everyone. Right? You know what I'm saying? That theoretical. Yeah, I know we believe this. And we're, you know, but man, it's not in your heart and it's pretty clear. And you know, this isn't what Paul's saying. This is an action. This is a real decision to be acted on. Here it is, folks. This right here is really the whole point of the letter. This is it. The whole point of the letter that Paul had written to this man, this is it. God doesn't give us stuff just for us to know. Okay, let me say that again for those in the back. Okay. God doesn't give us truth just so we know facts. You understand? Amen? You understand that with me this morning? God just wants me to know stuff. No, sir. No, ma'am. He does want you to know stuff, but not just to know stuff. God wants to give you truth so you can know stuff so that you can act upon it. You can respond to it. God wants response. Faith is response. Faith isn't just the knowledge. I'll tell you, this really is the line between a very carnal Christian, maybe so carnal of a Christian they never even got saved, and someone that's actually living for the Lord. A carnal Christian wants to know stuff. They want to be haughty. They want to be puffed up. The Bible says knowledge puffeth up, right? And wants that. I want to have, when I get in a conversation, I want to know more than the other guy knows or the other lady knows. I want to be the one that, when somebody says something, I want to tell them how much I know about it because I want to, this thing, this knowledge, I want to have it. The line crosses, and what God really wants is for us to not know stuff, but to respond. And this is the crux of the whole letter right here. And this really isn't about Onesimus at all. He is the character in here that God's using. But this is about Philemon aligning his life with what God is doing. It's really what it is. Our life in Christ is about so much more than me. This is the challenge for us from this letter right here. Receive the work of God. Okay? Receive the work of God. He is redeeming people. He's calling servants. And he's sending laborers. That's what God's doing. And God invites us to participate, albeit he calls us to partner together with him. Some are going to partner together with the Lord by going. Have you ever, this is going to be a little bit rhetorical, but I want you to think about it in your heart. Have you ever thought about God using you to be a missionary? No. I don't mean like, oh yeah, once upon a time. No, I mean like now. God using you right now. No, I'm too old. And I could tell you about a 62-year-old woman that retired, got on Social Security, went to the mission field, helped a missionary. And she stayed for years. I could tell you about missionaries that are on the field in their 80s and 90s. So we can't use old, can we? If you're 100, I'll give it to you. All right? Once you hit 100, I'm like, all right, okay, maybe. No, I don't think so. If you're breathing, all right. Well, maybe you think, well, I don't have any Bible college skill. Or we'd say, God didn't call me to do that. You know, God doesn't use AT&T. I don't know if anybody uses AT&T. We're going to learn about somebody tonight that... but come back tonight. He wasn't called either. But God's going to use somebody. You know what I think I'd be encouraged with? Is for us to just thank God, if you want me to partner with you in that way, here am I, Lord, send me. Okay, can I tell you what you do first, though? Ready? My caveat with that. If God's calling you to do something now. I'd go around the country and I'd talk to people. And somebody, as a missionary, I'd come in and people would say, yeah, God's called me to mission. I said, really? That's great. Where? And they said, well, I'm not sure yet. I said, well, what are you doing to prepare for that? Well, I'm just working a job and I'm just helping around the church. Oh, what kind of things are you doing? Well, I just, you know, I work a lot, so I'm not. By the time they're done, you know what I find out they're doing? Nothing. If I hired you and you didn't show up to work, you know what I'd call you? Fired. Don't tell me God's, yeah, I'm ready. Whatever God wants to do with me. How about if God wants to do something with you, he wants to do something now. Man, where, how'd you get that out of that? That's a little bit, let me clear that. I'm going to get back to it. All right, let's get back to it. So, God invites us to participate and to partner together, some by going and some by giving. I always think this. Giving is the easiest way to be involved in missions. You ever seen a missionary and said, no, I can't take your money? Never been rejected. I've never called a missionary and said, we'd like to send you some money. Said, Pastor, I can't accept it from y'all. I don't know if I've ever had that. As a missionary, I never did that. I had all kinds of people send us money. I mean, people that I wouldn't go in their church. They sent money. I'm like, how do they even know me? I don't know. We'll find a way to use it for the Lord. Amen. So God wants us to partner with us. And we find this in somebody going. Paul talked about some gave to help him along the way, communicating as in with giving. But all of us, by aligning our lives with what God is doing. Here's our conclusion this morning is this. Grace must be answered. Grace must be answered. God comes to the end of this, I'm sorry, Paul comes to the end of this letter with one instruction. And we're not to the end yet, but he's coming to the end of what he's getting at, the message here. Receive him as myself. Grace had already forgiven and changed Onesimus. Now grace required a response from Philemon. The issue was no longer what Onesimus had done. It was now about what Philemon would do with what God had done. And that is where this text leaves us this morning. God is still redeeming people. He's still calling servants. And he's still sending laborers. And he brings that work before his people and says, will you receive it? Not everyone will go. I don't want all of you to go to be missionaries. We've got a work to do here in Titusville and Brevard, you know. And not everyone will give the same. We have different income levels. We're at different places in our life, right? Everyone's not going to give the same. But everyone must make their own decision whether they will partner. God's grace does not end at salvation. It's really where it begins for us. Grace moves us into service. We don't serve to find grace. We serve from the place of grace. The question for us this morning is simply this, and we're done. Will I align my life with what God is doing, or will I stop at only enjoying what He's done for me? Let's all stand. Father, I do pray that You would, Lord, have Your will and way in our midst. And Lord, maybe even this morning You would begin to, or continue to work in the hearts of Your people to really take a look at this question. Lord, maybe someone would come this morning and say, God, I want to partner with You. I want to partner with You in what You're doing in the world. And Lord, for some it might mean to surrender to do whatever is set before them in service. Lord, maybe for others it's to surrender to give so that others might go to do what You've called them to do. Lord, I pray that You would give us a good time of invitation this morning, that we might really kneel before You and partner with You. We'll give You thanks for it now in Jesus' name. Listen, if God has spoken to your heart, I pray that you come, folks. Come and make a decision. Maybe your decision this morning is, God, I just want to say, God, I want to surrender to this, that I will part. I do want to be a partner with You. Don't linger, folks. Come and make a decision for Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm.